tuned for Lialogos Radio, the weekly radio program featuring the best in Greek music and culture, plus interviews with Greek and international newsmakers. Lialogos Radio with Michael Nevaralekis begins now. That was Eleni Tsaligopoulou kicking off this week's edition of Lialogos Radio with Min Perimenis Pia. You're tuned to Lialogos Radio, the weekly Greek radio program which airs worldwide on 15 radio stations across 5 countries, 4 continents, and online. My name is Michael Nevaralekis, and on today's broadcast, the Lialogos interview series will be featuring a highly informative interview with a previous guest on our program, with University of California Irvine economist and professor Stelios Skaperadas. Professor Skaperadas will give us his analysis of the economic situation in Greece, about the policies which the current government along with the IMF and the European Union are continuing to enforce, about the recent economic proposals by main opposition party Syriza, and he will also provide us with his policy proposals and recommendations as to what he believes Greece should do to emerge from the crisis. This is a last-minute change in our schedule. Originally, we were slated to feature Greek band Iman Bailey on our program today, but due to a last-minute scheduling change, we will push that interview back a couple of weeks, and today we will feature our discussion with economist Stelios Skaperadas. And coming up after today's interview is our Commentary of the Week segment, plus more great Greek music, including a special segment which will feature music that is derived from the poetry of renowned Greek poet Yannis Ritsos. Coming up right now, though, is this week's edition of the Lialogos interview series and our interview with professor and economist Stelios Skaperadas. the Diálogos Interview Series, our weekly segment featuring interviews on matters pertaining to Greece and the worldwide Greek community, coming up next here on Diálogos Radio. Joining us today on Diálogos Radio and the Diálogos Interview Series is University of California, Irvine economist and Professor Stelios Skaperadas. Professor Skaperadas, thank you, first of all, for joining us today on our program.
My pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
Over the past year, the Greek government and much of the Greek and international press has been touting the so-called success story of the Greek economy, saying that the country is back on track economically and that the austerity program has worked out. What is your take on these statements?
Well, I don't think even the government, the Greek government, is claiming now about success story, because what has happened over the past few months is that effectively, whenever the government tried to tout this story, they were beaten down either by the European Commission or the IMF or the German government. The situation in Greece continues to be dire. The expectation of growth has moved to next year now. That's what, in an interview yesterday, the Minister of Finance, Mr. Hardouvelis, sort of mentioned. The conditions in Greece are dire. There is still 26% overall unemployment, over 50% youth unemployment. Even after the young are moving abroad to find jobs, they move to Germany, to other countries, to Britain. Last year, in 2013, the so-called net saving rate was about minus 14%. What does this mean? That means that the Greeks, even the middle class ones, even those who have money in the bank, have to withdraw the money to be able to make ends meet. As an economist, I have never heard of a country having that negative rate, even in cases of severe war or anything. People are eating from the seed, hoping that the economy will turn around. But the economy is not turning around. It was announced by Elstat, or Eurostat actually, 3.9 million Greeks are in poverty. That's over a third of Greeks. The banking system is completely shot. The economy needs liquidity, money in circulation, in order to have the wheels of the economy turning, for the engine of the economy turning, but there is nowhere to be seen. With a distant European Central Bank, there is no hope in providing it. Very excessive taxes, that regressive taxes that fall on the poor and the middle class. The rich have largely avoided them. The government, have you heard of Lagarde's list? The list that the former finance minister of France and the current head of the IMF has sent to the Greek government, with rich Greeks who have money in Swiss banks. Still, they're playing around with it. After 4 years, they have done nothing. Debt as a percent, public debt as a percent to GDP continues to grow. And it's unsustainable in the sense that the more the country tightens its belt to pay the interest, the skinnier it gets, the less able it becomes to make the payments in the future. This is unsustainable. Everybody knows that you need to have some debt forgiveness, but nobody is doing anything about it. And because of that, things are continue to get worse. It's actually, it was predictable 2, 3, 4 years ago and predicted by some of us. But the current government and the previous government agreed to the private sector had been an initiative almost 3 years ago that was disastrous for the country, I think, and that's where paying the consequences now.
Recently, Greek bond yields shot up again, and we saw a sharp decline in the Athens Stock Exchange Index. This seemingly contradicted the government's statements that the country was ready to begin borrowing from the international financial markets once again. Is this indeed the case?
Yeah, that's what happened. And the government was saying we're getting out of the memorandum, the mnemonio. But then, as you have the European Commission and the IMF said, well, we don't know anything about that. And the German finance minister, they went and they were trying to play it up like there's something, now Greece can borrow and everything. But the situation is precarious not only for Greece, but for the whole Eurozone. even for the whole world, you have these problems. And whenever you have a hiccup in the rest of the world, in Greece, you know, Greece catches cold, so to speak. So that's not something then that you cannot rely on 9%, you cannot pay 9% yields in order to finance this enormous debt, refinance the debt that matures. And in addition, Greece has a, how do you call it, hrematodikoken, or, you know, financial gap that he has to fill. And there is discussion of a new memorandum, although they would name it differently. So this is, there doesn't seem to be much light at the end of the tunnel. Continues to be dark.
A couple of weeks ago, stress tests of European banks were conducted, and despite the Greek government's statements to the contrary, three of Greece's four major banks failed the stress tests. These are banks that have received hundreds of billions of euros in funds for their recapitalization. How should the banking system be dealt with, and are depositors in Greece presently at risk?
Well, they received about tens of billions, which is a lot of money for Greece, maybe 30, 40 billion, which is something like 3,000, 4,000 euros for every Greek man, woman, and child to do that. That's an enormous amount without any, the government essentially having any ownership. So that's another scandal. But indeed, the banks are in precarious position, because what you have is you have a lot of Greeks cannot pay back their loans, and they stopped paying back, millions of them. And as a result, they are effectively insolvent, even more so than the stress tests were pretty forgiving throughout the they tried to present the best sort of outside image to the outside world, not only for Greek banks, but other Eurozone banks that they could. Yes, they're in a very precarious position, and that's the main problem. Although Greeks have borrowed money since the PSI, since the February-March of 2012, for these banks to finance and recapitalize these banks, still the situation is bad, because the problem loans are their number is huge, and they continue to mount.
Despite much protest, the Greek government is slowly but steadily pushing forward with its privatization agenda. Based on the experiences of other countries that have implemented similar programs, what would the large-scale privatization of Greek public resources, corporations, and utilities mean for the country and for the long-term future of the Greek economy?
Well, to my knowledge, the privatization of power companies or water companies or the sale of public property does not bring any significant or any significant benefits to consumers. And if anything, it brings negative things. Like here in California, we have much higher electricity rates after the government decided to make it more, create more of a market in electricity. And there were scandals with Enron 10 years ago and more that sort of exemplified that. So similarly, I don't think that it will bring any benefits to Greek consumers, with a downside risk of making things worse in terms of how much they pay for electricity and other utilities. Plus, the future Greek governments that might want to create policies that are beneficial to the average Greeks through the policy or through the holding of these public enterprises would not be able to do so. Now, people say, well, that's what brought Greece to this situation. Well, but the question is not between corrupt heads and employees of public corporations versus private ones. You have similar results. What you need is to have properly functioning government bureaucracies that limit corruption as much as possible. And that's, they're trying to solve the corruption problem, which is endemic even in places like Northwest Europe, with a sort of privatization. But privatization will not solve these problems, except providing some extra cash that is minuscule, actually. It's not much money. It's probably less than 10 billion euros. When they gave away to the banks 40 billion euros, for example.
We are speaking with economist and professor Stelios Kaperdas of the University of California, Irvine, here on the Ideologos Radio and the Ideologos interview series. Stelios, many in Greece have hopes that Syriza, the main opposition party, can put an end to the austerity policies and the economic crisis in Greece. The party's recently revealed economic platform, however, calls for Greece to remain in the Eurozone, for a debt renegotiation to take place within the confines of the Eurozone, and they reject a unilateral stoppage of payments, the implementation of a more progressive tax code, the renationalization of Greece's banks, and the reversal of the privatization program. What is your take on Syriza's economic platform, and what could it do for the Greek economy?
Well, the policies they propose are policies that the current government could easily have instituted. The question is, why has the current government not done it? Well, I don't know. The problem with Syriza, if it tries too little, then it will be faced with a situation similar with the government of Nea Dimokratia and PASOK, where they try to fool the people and say, well, we didn't agree to that, we didn't agree to the other thing, and then try to delay and delay and delay in implementing what they have themselves agreed. The European Commission, the German Chancellor, or the German Minister of Finance, they sort of want to have, and the Troika, they want things implemented the way they have agreed. And because debt is unsustainable and they cannot be followed, the government is trying to delay. Well, Syriza, according to this economic policy that it has, if it indeed tries to do just minor sort of negotiations at the edges, it will not do much. The day after they try to negotiate something seriously, you will have the European Central Bank come and say, well, we stop liquidity on Monday if you do it over the weekend. So this is really, you have to not only Syriza, but Nea Dimokratia, elite institutions in Greece, organizations, all the political parties have not thought seriously what they have to do to bargain. Somehow they place the faith with their fellow Europeans of the Eurozone that they will solve it for them. No, they will not. You have to bargain very hard. You have to prepare as a country to say, what is the alternative, the real alternative? And if I have to negotiate effectively, you need to have a backup. You need to have that alternative, even if you don't really believe in it. So what is the alternative? The alternative, the elephant in the room that is lurking always, is exit from the Eurozone. Even if you don't believe in it, you have to use it for negotiating purposes. Otherwise, they will laugh at you, like they have laughed at the Europeans. They will laugh at you if you try to negotiate seriously and you don't have something as a backup. Just as they laughed against with Mr. Papandreou, and that's what they have been doing with all the governments since then. They're driving a hard bargain. The Europeans are smiling and sort of patting you on the back, but they are really very hard negotiators, and they don't care if your country is in a deep depression. It's your responsibility to take care of your own people. And unfortunately, I don't see Syriza doing that either, because it's been 2.5 years, a bit over 2 years since the last government. They should have prepared for serious alternatives, even if they don't believe in it. That's the only ticket they have. How are you going to go and negotiate with the Minister of Finance of Germany? What are you going to tell them? You're going to tell them, we want, even if you want to stay in the Eurozone, we want to cut the debt, possibly maybe revive the debt that Germany owes Greece from the Second World War. Maybe that would be one formula, but there is no other way. We cannot, our people cannot sustain the bleeding anymore. They cannot do that. If you want to do it like this, we'll stay in the Eurozone. But if you don't do anything serious about this, then we have to look after ourselves. And if you think there will be a blow up of the whole Eurozone, well, it will be your responsibility, not our responsibility. That's the way you go about it. You have to go and be prepared. Be ready to get out of the Eurozone. Be even prepared to face an alternative geopolitical reality. Turkey anyway goes around and sort of around the Aegean and the south of Cyprus, and anyway, the European Union is not protecting anybody. So what are you going to lose?
Following along this train of thought, do you believe that a departure from the Eurozone would be the best move for Greece at this time?
Well, you interviewed me about 3 years ago, and I was then said that Greece would do much better to get out of the Eurozone. And if Greece had gotten out of the Eurozone 2.5 years ago, it would have been much, much, much better off. There's no way when if you had your own currency, you wouldn't have you would have that kind of unemployment. You would have the liquidity problems. You know, you have fewer exports now after wages have gone down something like 30% than you had in Greece had in 2008. That was supposed to have solved the problem. No, it didn't. What is called the internal devaluation within the Eurozone. So, yes, I thought that it was much better policy for Greece to get out of the Eurozone. It was feasible because there are numerous reports that the German Minister of Finance proposed that actually to Mr. Venizelos, who was the finance minister in 2011, late 2011. Mr. Venizelos and the Greek political class rejected that, of course. We don't know whether Mr. Schäuble, the Minister of Finance, was bluffing. But even if he was bluffing, Greece could have gotten a better deal out of the whole thing. So, yes, I believe then, and I believe now it's also, given that Greece has to have a 4.5% of GDP primary surplus and other things. I don't see how Greece can continue within the Eurozone, but it will be even more difficult now because it will be a shock after all these difficult times. It will be an additional shock, but the shock will be short term, 3 to 6 months. But even if you don't believe getting out of the Eurozone, you have to use that for negotiating purposes. You have to do that.
Do you believe that there is any chance of recovery for Greece within a Eurozone at this stage?
You know, if you keep going down and down and down, eventually you will hit bottom. And it will hit bottom at some point, late this year, next year. But the bottom, you need very quick recovery in order to substantially reduce the unemployment, the 26% unemployment. You need to have more than 1% to have any reduction growth, and you need 2, 3, 4% growth to really start bringing it down by 20%, 15% in 2 years or something like that. And I don't see this happening within the Eurozone. It will be growth, but it will be very slow growth. In the meantime, people are exhausted. You have minus 14% net private savings. So I don't know. So it is possible you will hit bottom after 7 years of depression. Mathematically, it has to start. It cannot continue getting worse and worse. No, it's possible that it could get worse and worse in some circumstances if the international economy implodes. But it will, at some point, start going up. But it will be too little.
We are on the air with Professor and Economist Stelios Kaperidas of the University of California, Irvine, here on the Alagos Radio and the Alagos Interview Series. Stelios, what would the benefits be for Greece if it did return to its own currency? And having mentioned the initial shock, how could it go about restoring its economy in this way?
At this point, the highest benefit of having your own currency is to have liquidity in the markets. Now, its money is like oil in the engine of the economy, and the oil of the engine of the economy is withdrawn and replaced with sand. So what you have is that there is all this liquidity. There are firms, Greek firms, that cannot export because they cannot get bridge financing, working capital from banks. There are individual businesses that, and when the expectation that everything is going bad and everything in the economy, so the banks don't lend money. By having the government provide liquidity, by having your own currency, the Bank of Greece would be able to provide more liquidity, print money. Well, you say printing money will be inflationary. Well, when in situations with such high unemployment, most of the money, the new money, will be absorbed like a sponge in the oil of the economy in order to, because there is, the economy is so starved for cash. So that will create immediately more economic activity just by having money circulating in the economy. So that's sort of the most immediate effect. And this also allow the government to create, to borrow from the Bank of Greece, borrow in drachmas, not in the international markets, so as to restart the economy that you cannot do now. You can borrow to start paying the unemployed, long-term unemployed more. You can start building more roads and repairing the infrastructure that is deteriorating. Hire people, young people, college graduates to do research for research institutes in all of those things. Do everything possible. This is an emergency. 26% unemployment and over 50% youth unemployment. This is a severe emergency, and the government will be able to do it by using its own money. Now, the other thing is that the traditional reasons for having your own currency, it will be because you will have a devaluation of the drachma, exports will become less expensive and imports more expensive. That will create an additional benefit, but that benefit is not as great as it would have been 2-3 years ago. In addition, you have autonomy in making decisions as a Greek government. Instead of everything being determined, we are now a colony. Greece is a colony, does not have any kind of independent decision-making for its economy. So it will provide some national independence. It will create also some, you know, the government will be responsive to needs of its own people. It will be more responsive, more democracy than it has now. So there are economic reasons, there are national reasons, there are reasons of democracy. Greeks have become poorer. Some Greeks are poorer than they were even in the 60s and the 50s in ways that it's unprecedented. But Greeks overall have become poorer. They don't have much more to lose. And they have a lot to gain by pursuing independent strategies for economic strategies and other strategies, policies in the country.
Aside from a return to a domestic currency, what other policies do you believe Greece should implement to help itself emerge from the current crisis?
It's an emergency situation that the mainstream press in Greece is not talking about. It's unemployment. These people, whether they are in their 50s or 40s, you know, with no hope of getting a job, some of them are committing suicide. Others are becoming desperate, despondent. No. Then the young people also they've seen no future. They have to go abroad. So you send your most able people abroad, and who is going to pay the debt, the taxes to pay the debt, if the most productive, the most promising people go abroad? And then you have the older people cannot find jobs. Well, the most important thing, have a jobs program, like the U.S. had in the 1930s, WPA, having massive sort of build roads and bridges and the new railroads, the metro station, the new metro in Athens and Thessaloniki, create sort of more things about access, sort of hire the food scientists and others to help farmers have new crops and more profitable crops, hire young scientists to do research institutes I mentioned earlier. Anything you can do to try to jumpstart the economy, something that economists, regardless of political position in the ideological spectrum, were recommended up to a few years ago. This is sort of something that the euro is a straitjacket that does not allow you to do that. So that's the most important one. It's an emergency. Hire more nurses and doctors in hospitals that are understaffed, and the doctors are going outside of the country. Pay a little bit more to the doctors who used to be getting fakelake or something. Instead of paying them 1,500 euros a month, pay them, increase their pay to 2,000. Things of that sort. These are basic stuff that even a government, these are policies that would be followed by a red government of Mr. Karamanlis in the late 50s, right? It's not something left or right. It's basic sort of stuff that we learned during the Great Depression, how to jumpstart the economy. It would require also, I mean, in my view, the banks are insolvent, and they would have to be taken over. The Greek people have subsidized them to the tune of 30, 40 billion euros, and they have to have them be taken over. There is no reason that the government should not be, I mean, just like Sweden did in the early 90s, to sort of bring them back to health and serve the purpose of national reconstruction.
Stelios, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us today here on the Dialogos Radio and in the Dialogos interview series, and thank you very much for sharing your analysis and insights with us.
My pleasure, and thank you also for having me.
Do
Do you enjoy independent, non-commercial, non-profit radio programming which brings you the best in Greek music and culture, plus exclusive and hard-hitting interviews you won't hear anywhere else? If so, then the Galagos Radio needs your support. Contribute to our fundraiser and help us to continue bringing you more of the programming you love. And in return for your contribution, check out our special gifts, including DVDs, music, books, and much more, available in return for your donation. Visit our website, thegalagosmedia.org, to learn more. Support a nonprofit and independent Greek voice. Support the Galagos Radio today.
Attention iTunes users, the Galagos Radio is now just a click away. You can now download our podcasts and listen to the Galagos Radio 24/7 anytime, anywhere. Check us out today in the iTunes podcast directory and in iTunes Radio. We just wrapped up this week's edition of the Galagos interview series here on the Galagos Radio and our discussion with economist and professor Stelios Kaperadas of the University of California, Irvine. The podcast of this interview will soon be available on our website, thegalagosmedia.org, where you can also find our on-demand programming, our articles and written work, and you can also listen to our online radio station, the Galagos Radio 24/7. Our podcasts are also available in the official Galagos Radio apps for Android, Kindle, and BlackBerry devices, and for Google Chrome, and in iTunes, TuneIn.com, the Windows Marketplace, and the WeCast, Nobex Radio, and Player FM apps. Coming up is some great Greek music here on the Galagos Radio, and after that, stay tuned for our commentary of the week, plus our special segment featuring music based on the poetry of Yannis Reitzos.
Το δέντρο κάθισα και διψάσα και ριζώσα. Και τυνάξα τα φύλλα του και τον κορμό του ασημώσα. Γιατί πολύ σ' αγάπησα, γιατί δεν αγαπώ εμένα, γιατί η ζωή δεν κράτησα και αυτή την άφησα σε σένα. Γιατί πολύ σ' αγάπησα, γιατί δεν αγαπώ εμένα, γιατί η ζωή δεν κράτησα κι αυτή την άφησα σε σένα. Στις μοναξιάς το δέντρο καθίσα, το χαράξα και ματώσα. Περισσεύαν τα χέρια μου και για κλαδιά του τα δώσα. Γιατί πολύ σ' αγάπησα, γιατί δεν αγαπώ εμένα, γιατί η ζωή δεν κράτησα και αυτή την άφησα σε σένα. Γιατί πολύ σ' αγάπησα, γιατί δεν αγαπώ εμένα, γιατί η ζωή δεν κράτησα και αυτή την άφησα σε σένα. γιατί το τραγούδι να είναι λυπητερό. Με μια σταρής και απ' την καρδιά μου ξέκοψε. Κι αυτή τη στιγμή που πλημμυρίζω χαρά, ανέβηκε ως τα χείλη μου και με έπνιξε. Φυλάξου για το τέλος θα μου πεις. Σ' αγαπάω μα δεν έχω μιλιά να σ' το πω. Κι αυτός είναι ένας καημός αβάσταχτος. Λιώνω στον πόνο γιατί νιώθω κι εγώ. Ο δρόμος που τραβάμε είναι αδιάβατος. Κουράγιο θα περάσει θα μου πεις. Πώς μπορώ να ξεχάσω τα λιτά της μαλλιά, την άμμο που σαν καταράκτη σε ενούζε. Καθώς έσκυβε πάνω μου χιλιάδες φιλιά, διαμάντια που απλόχερα μου χάριζε. Θα πάω κι ας μου βγει και σε κακό. Σε ποιαν έκσταση απάνω, σε χορό μαγικό, μπορεί ένα τέτοιο πλάσμα να γεννήθηκε. Από πιο μακρινό αστέρι είναι το φως που μες στα δυο της μάτια πήγε κρύφτηκε. Κι εγώ ο τυχερός που το έχει δει. Μες στο βλέμμα της ένας τόσο δα ουρανός αστράφτη συννεφιάζει, αναδιπλώνεται. Μα σαν πέφτει η νύχτα πλημμυρίζει με φως. Φεγγάρι αυγουστιάτικο υψώνεται και φέγγει από μέσα η φυλακή. Πώς μπορώ να ξεχάσω τα λιτά της μαλλιά, την άμμο που σαν καταράκτη σε ανούζε. Καθώς έσκυβε πάνω μου χιλιάδες φιλιά, διαμάντια που απλόχερα μου χάριζε. Θα πάω κι ας μου βγει και σε κακό.
The Alagos Radio 24/7, our online radio station which features the best mix of great Greek music, plus programming and interviews from the vast The Alagos Radio archive. Tune in through our website, thealagosmedia.org, in iTunes Radio, or at tunein.com. That was Nikos Papazoglou wrapping up that brief musical set here on the Alagos Radio with Pos Borona Xechaso, and right before that we heard Orfeas Peridis singing Yati Podise Agapisa. Coming up next here on the Alagos Radio is our commentary of the week. The Alagos Radio's Commentary of the Week. Each week, Michael Nevradakis provides views and opinions on issues pertaining to Greece and to the worldwide Greek community. Coming up next, here on The Alagos Radio. It was about a year and a half ago that I had the opportunity to travel to Brussels and to Luxembourg as part of an academic program which was meant to introduce the institutions of the European Union and NATO to students studying in Europe. Despite my personal distaste toward the policies of both the European Union and NATO, I felt that this would be an excellent opportunity to see these institutions from the inside, to meet and to speak with representatives of these entities, and to get a sense of what the climate toward Greece was really like inside the corridors in Brussels and in Luxembourg. The scene one sees in Brussels in particular paints an almost utopian picture of the European Union and the so-called European Dream. Inside EU buildings, posters and exhibits portrayed individuals from different European countries holding hands and doing everything except singing Kumbaya together, while placards explain to visitors just how fair, just, and progressive the European Union really is, and how it was bringing the entire continent together in one big happy European family. The talks and speeches that I had the opportunity to hear largely followed this theme as well. Even though this was almost 2 years ago, and even though obviously the situation in Europe remains grim today, the talk at these speeches in March of 2013 was bright and sunny, cloaked with how new rules overseeing economic governance within the EU would bring Europe one step closer toward the holy grail of complete and everlasting unity. There was this one problem, however. Some of the things which were being slipped into these talks here and there were not quite right. There was a statement made by one EU official that the sovereign state is a 19th century construct, and that nothing lasts forever. There was the EU technocrat who said that Italy's new prime minister at the time, Mario Monti, who was not elected, was the best thing that ever happened to Italy, while adding that there were regions of Italy which he wished could be governed directly from Brussels. There were constant references to the need for free movement of labor, for a flexible labor force, and for a single European consciousness. Even famous EU scholar John McCormick, in a talk to our group, told us that there were three reasons for the economic crisis in Europe, with reason number three being Greece. Period. Apparently, no further explanation was necessary. Just naming the foolish banana republic known as Greece was seemingly enough. At the end of this week-long visit, I could not wait to go back to a country which so many people my age are desperate to leave, Greece. Perhaps, though, their opinion might be different if I told them about the incredible number of homeless people I saw in the Brussels metro system, which is more than the total number of homeless people I see in 1 year in Greece, even today. But most likely, this is probably wishful thinking. The people of Greece are scared. The media outlets, which they love to criticize but still faithfully read and watch, tell them that disaster will strike if Greece leaves the Eurozone and returns to its own domestic currency. We are told that the ATMs will run out of money, which people don't have. We are told that the country will run out of oil and medicine, as if people have it in abundance now with the oh-so-powerful euro. That Greece will be isolated and no longer a part of Europe, as if the entire country will get up and move to some other continent. Perhaps the Greek people, aside from criticizing the Greek government, criticism which usually consists of words with no action, also need to realize that the current government and all previous governments in Greece enjoyed the full support of the supposedly civilized, Nobel Prize-winning EU. The current government, which has passed dozens of laws by presidential decree and with zero democratic debate, which continues to enforce destructive economic policies which have not led the country back to growth, but which have led millions of Greeks into poverty, unemployment, suicide, and migration. The government which, as Stelios Kaperadas pointed out in today's interview, has outright refused to investigate any of the wealthy tax evaders found on the so-called Lagarde list. The government which allows the country's media outlets to operate illegally without licenses, while the country's broadcast regulator, the National Commission for Radio and Television, is also operating illegally, as the terms of all of its members expired over 2 years ago. This is the government that has been rocked by scandal after scandal, and this is the government the EU supports and which it prefers remain in office. Who can forget how happy EU officials, as well as their mouthpieces in publications such as The Economist and the Financial Times, were when this purportedly responsible and pro-European government won the elections back in 2012. Years back, a group of German politicians made statements such as the following. There must be a readiness to subordinate one's own interests in certain cases to those of the European community. And the solution to economic problems, with the eventual object of a European customs union and a free European market, a European clearing system and stable exchange rates in Europe, is a European currency union. If this sounds like something that present-day EU or German officials would say, you would be excused for your mistake. In fact, these quotes come from members of Hitler's government. Clearly, this is the sort of European unity that is worthy of a Nobel Prize. As for the people in Greece, the ones who are scared of their own shadow or who still think they have something to gain out of the absolutely corrupt and rotten political and economic system of Greece and the European Union, and who still believe in the European dream, they need to remember just one thing. Some dreams are nightmares. Take Dialogos Radio on the go with you with the new Dialogos Radio app for Android devices. Now you can listen live to Dialogos Radio and Dialogos Radio 24/7, download our podcasts, and read our latest articles all in our free Android app, available now in the Google Play Store. The long and corrupt history of lawlessness, patronage, and censorship in the Greek media is revealed in our new series of investigative articles. Visit dialogosmedia.org today to read our investigative series and to learn more about the long-standing state of corruption and censorship in Greece's media, as well as the worsening conditions for freedom of speech and the press. Head on over to dialogosmedia.org today to read our articles and to get more of the hard-hitting journalism you've come to expect from Dialogos Media. That was our commentary of the week here on Dialogos Radio, and coming up next is our special segment featuring music based on the poetry of renowned Greek poet Yannis Ritsos.
Σκοτάδι απ' τα μάτια σου βαμμένο, χύμιξε κι απόψε να με βρει. Και έγινε το σπίτι ένα δάσος πετρωμένο, που μοιάζαν τα δέντρα του σταυρί. Έρημο τραγούδι από αίμα και από χιόνι, κλαίει στα παλιά μου τα χαρτιά. Όπως το φτωχό μου το κορμί που δεν παλιώνει, για να το πετάξω στη φωτιά. Ήσουνα φεγγάρι κι ήμουνα πουλί, πέταξα για να σε φτάσω. Κι όταν σ' είχα φτάσει μέχρι το φιλί, σε σβήσει η Ανατολή. Ήσουνα φεγγάρι κι ήμουνα πουλί, πέταξα ψηλά για να σε φτάσω. Κι όταν σ' είχα φτάσει μέχρι το φιλί, σε σβήσει η Ανατολή. Κι από χιόνι κλαίει στα παλιά μου τα χαρτιά. Όπως το φτωχό μου το κορμί που δεν παλιώνει, για να το πετάξω στη φωτιά. Ήσουνα φεγγάρι κι ήμουνα πουλί, πέταξα για να σε φτάσω. Κι όταν σ' είχα φτάσει μέχρι το φιλί, ήσουνα φεγγάρι κι ήμουνα πουλί, πέταξα ψηλά για να σε φτάσω. Κι όταν σ' είχα φτάσει μέχρι το φιλί, σε σβήσει η Ανατολή.
That was was Maria Dimitriadi in the first song as part of our special feature on music based on the poetry of one of Greece's most famous poets, Yannis Ritsos. Fegari was the title of the song which we just heard, with music composed by Thanos Mikroutsikos. Yannis Ritsos was born on May 1st, 1909, in the town of Monemvasia, to a relatively wealthy but troubled family. Tragedy struck his family when Ritsos was just 12 years old, when his mother and his eldest brother passed away as a result of tuberculosis, while later on his father was committed to a mental institution. It was around this time that Ritsos began to write and to publish his first poems. Shortly after moving to Athens in 1925, further tragedy almost struck, as Ritsos also became afflicted with tuberculosis and ended up spending 4 years in various hospitals. It was at these hospitals where Ritsos first became acquainted with a variety of activists and union organizers, while Ritsos also continued writing poetry during this time as well. Soon after his release in 1931, Ritsos became heavily involved in left-wing politics in Greece, while in 1934 he released his first set of poems titled Trakter, which was followed by his second work, Pyramides, in 1935. In 1936, his landmark poem, Epitaphios, sent a message of unity for all Greek people, while copies of Epitaphios were confiscated and burned by Greece's military government. In the years which followed, Ritsos continued both his writings as well as his political activism, as he later became a member of the Greek resistance. Ritsos was internally exiled in 1948 to the remote island of Limnos, and later to the islands of Makronisos and Ios Evstratios. Ritsos spoke of the harsh conditions of exile in much of his poetry, while international personalities such as Pablo Picasso and Pablo Neruda led an international campaign for his release. Ritsos was released in 1952, and in the years which followed, he got married, and his wife gave birth to his one and only child, a daughter. His poetic work also continued, but in 1967, soon after the coup that brought to power Greece's US-backed military junta, Ritsos was once again arrested and once again sent to internal exile. His experiences in exile were once again translated into poetry. However, it was not until after the fall of the junta in 1975, when Ritsos was once again free, that he began to earn international recognition for his work, earning awards for his poetry in France, Italy, the Soviet Union, and elsewhere, while also being honored by the Republic of Cyprus and by the municipalities of Athens and Thessaloniki, among others. He continued his poetic work until just before his death, on the 11th of November, 1990, in Athens, leaving behind a body of work which included over 50 books of poetry, which have been translated into dozens of languages, as well as recognition as one of the greatest poets in Greece's modern history. Some of his poetry was turned into music, and we'll hear some more of that music now as our special tribute continues here on the Dialogos Radio.
Απάνω στα δαμάρια, κάτω στα δαμάρια. Απάνω στα δαμάρια, κάτω στα δαμάρια. Πέτρα και κάψα και λιωμένο σίδερο. Πέτρα και κάψα. Ένα σπαγμένο κόκορα σπίδουσε πέτρα, πέτρα. Ένα σπαγμένο κόκορα σπίδουσε πέτρα, πέτρα. Thank you.
νταμάρια, κάτω στα νταμάρια. Απάνω στα νταμάρια, κάτω στα νταμάρια. Είπαμε μόνοι το τραγούδι μας. Μες στο καυτό κατά μεσημερό. Απάνω στα νταμάρια, κάτω στα νταμάρια.
Follow Dialogos Radio on Facebook and Twitter and remain connected to all our latest news and updates. Check us out today at facebook.com/dialogosmedia and at twitter.com/dialogosmedia. We just heard Yannis Poulopoulos singing Tragoudia Sta Damaria as part of our special segment on music derived from the poetry of Yannis Ritsos. This is Dialogos Radio, the worldwide Greek radio program which airs each week across 15 stations in 5 countries, 4 continents, and online. Today's program is just about ready to come to a close, but we will be back again next week, same time, same place, with an exclusive and groundbreaking interview which you will not want to miss, with journalist and author Katie Martin. Katie is the author of such books as The Polk Conspiracy, the story of CBS journalist George Polk, who was murdered in Greece in 1948 by the country's right-wing authoritarian government at the time, a murder which was subsequently covered up. This book was originally censored in Greece and in a number of other countries as well, including Britain, but it was recently released again as an e-book, and we'll have the opportunity to speak to Katie Martin about the book, the story of George Polk, and the new e-book version on next week's edition of the Dialogos interview series. We will wrap up today's program with one final song, also based on the poetry of Yannis Ritsos. This last piece features Antonis Kaloyannis along with Yannis Dimitras, and is titled Then Kaleo. Thank you for joining us once again this week here on the Dialogos Radio, and have a wonderful weekend.
Για μια νύχτα μόνη και ποτέ θα σε ξαναβρω. Η θύμησή σου με σταυρώνει σ' έναν καταφωτό σταυρό. Η θύμησή σου με σταυρώνει σ' ένα καταφωτό σταυρό. Δεν λέω για αυτά που μου έχεις πάρει, για αυτά που μου έχεις αρνηθεί. Μου έχεις χαρίσει ένα φεγγάρι γαλάζιο ανήπο το βαθύ. Δεν λέω για αυτά που μου έχεις πάρει.
σου την παλάμη. Κουρνιάζουν τα χρυσά πουλιά κι αναμαρτία να έχω κάνει. Και μου έχουν λείψει τα φιλιά. Αναμαρτία να έχω κάνει. Και μου έχουν λείψει τα φιλιά. Δεν κλαίω για αυτά που μου έχεις πάρει. Για αυτά που μου έχεις αρνηθεί, μου έχεις χαρίσει ένα φεγγάρι γαλάζιο ανίποτο βαθύ. Δεν κλαίω για αυτά που μου έχεις πάρει.